This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Michael K. Show.
The Yankee manager, Aaron Boone, told Jack Curry on the Hot Stove Show, not only are the Eagles going to win, they're winning by a lot. Now, do you respect him more than me?
No.
What?
Not in this case. He's a yo-yo
Eagle fan. I love Aaron. If we're talking about baseball, I'd have all the respect in the world for his opinion.
But you're a yo-yo Giant fan.
Right. But I do think I come with some analysis. Did he do pre and post for an NFL team for 16 years?
He watches every single game, knows coaches, stuff like that. He talks people. He's locked in.
I have more credibility in the NFL than Aaron Boone does.
Oh, stop.
I covered the Giants. I covered the Jets. 16 years doing the pre and post. No, you stop it. You stop it. All right, Yankee boy?
The Michael K. Show.
Fair point, Don.
On 98.7 ESPN.
So a little baseball news before we kickstart the 4 o'clock hour. The Twins have traded the reigning American League batting champion, Luis Arraez, to the Marlins for their really good young pitcher, a right-hander Pablo Lopez, and two young players, a shortstop Jose Salas and outfielder Byron Churio.
Okay.
So that trade was reported by several, including our very own Jeff Passan. You have it.
Something about the okay dropped on. When it hits right after the sort of name you're not that familiar with, it hits different.
Okay. By the way, I want to thank the people at the podcast Toe on the Slab, David Cohn's vehicle.
Sure.
With Justin Shackle and James Smythe, they sent me a beautiful mug.
That's nice.
And a T-shirt that just rocks.
By the way, did you see yesterday, Don, Michael on Twitter trying to like schnur himself an invite to John Boy?
Yeah,
That was embarrassing.
I got it, by the way.
Wow. Really? Did
you send me stuff. Yourself. I'll wear it.
The 29-year-old broadcast phenoms invited the legend to come to their place. Wow. How'd you manage that?
Who's a legend? Me? Nobody.
Can I join?
Do you want to bring Natalie?
I'll bring Natalie if she wants to go.
She doesn't want to go.
All right, so Eli Manning was on Kyle Brandt's Basement podcast. You heard about this, right?
Sorry, though. What? What'd you say?
Forget it. Anyway, Michael from Glen Rock won a solo stove Ranger 2.0 in the Superbox Bonanza. Congratulations,
that was
Michael.
Funny.
Eli Manning was on Kyle Brandt's Basement podcast, and he talked about his successor, Daniel Jones.
I've been rooting for him, been excited for him all year. I've talked to him throughout the whole season through, you know, the good times, the bad times, losses and wins. And just he's done a great job of just staying steady and, you know, playing smart football. So I told him, hey, playoff, don't change. You don't all of a sudden change for the playoffs. Keep doing what you've been doing. He was asking if the speed is any different. Are they play faster? I said, no one's playing faster. You don't all of a sudden, you know, become a faster player in the playoffs. Everybody's is trying as hard as they can. Sometimes, you know, guys might get a little healthier or they feel fresh or, you know, you kind of can pick up the momentum and tempo at practice and everybody's feeling good, but it's still about going out there executing, you know, knowing the game plan and just making smart decisions. So don't get too overwhelmed with it. And so, you know, same thing this weekend. And I think it's good. Hey, he's played in Philadelphia a number of times. He knows what to expect and he's played this team. So, hey, go out there and just try to play your best.
All right. I have to say something, Michael.
What's that?
I wonder if you guys will follow. I love Eli. Love him like a brother. Well, that's
like
a bit...
Peyton loves him, you mean?
Yeah.
And Cooper.
No,
where's
more
your
Cooper.
Snapchat,
it's
Don?
It's more Cooper's love. But by the way, that's the name of my 14th book.
Cooper's Love.
But I'll tell you this. I feel like I've heard Eli asked about Daniel Jones a few times over the last few years. I've never heard him as effusive about the relationship as he sounds right now.
But I also thought he gave a really good answer, though.
He did.
About, you know, it's not faster. These guys don't all of a sudden get faster because they're playing in the playoffs. That's a good message to send to somebody.
Yeah.
And also, he couldn't really talk them up the last 3 years.
I guess you're right.
So Eli was also asked on Kyle Brandt's Basement. Sounds like one of, like, Peter's endless podcasts. Is there any similarity to the 07 team?
I see some similarities just in the fact that they're able to win some close games. They're able to win some fourth quarter games early in the year. They went through a little slump in the middle of the season, and all of a sudden, you know, second to last game of the season, they had to win to get in. They were able to beat, you know, beat Indianapolis. They, you know, we beat Buffalo that year to kind of secure your spot. And so, you know, they're going to have to go on the road to get there. And so I think there's some similarities, but I think it's, they're their own team. They got their own identity, new coaches. It's, you know, because there's some similarities doesn't mean it's gonna end exactly the same, but you know, I'm gonna root for them. I'm gonna try to help them, and hopefully they can go into Philly and play a good game.
All right, so that was a very political answer. I don't think there's that many similarities other than maybe the path they're taking. The teams aren't the same, Don.
The path is the same. Well, not the same, but the similar. But people,
the team's,
listen, that Giant team was a surprise, but they had gone to the playoffs the two previous years, went 11-5 in 05, and then they were 8-8 but went to the playoffs and lost in Philadelphia in 06. This Giant team was nowhere the last 5 years. So that 07 team, although not Super Bowl worthy, you thought, but at least had been a consistent playoff team.
Now, this point was brought up by one of our pinhead suits, and I thought it was interesting, shockingly. So if the Giants win tomorrow, you want Daniel Jones to be one of the main reasons why you want him to throw for 350 yards and run for 80 and throw three touchdowns and no picks. That's what you want.
Now,
if they lose, this is the interesting part. Do you want him to completely wet the bed? Or if they lose and he throws for 320 yards, does nothing wrong, but they lose because their defense can't stop Jalen Hurts, it's kind of a lose-lose for the Giants. They lose the game and the specter of their quarterback rises even more.
Are you asking a fan's perspective or the organization?
Let's go with both. That's a good question by you. Organization, what does the organization think?
My guess is everyone wants him to be really good. It's
even
hard
if they lose.
I mean, maybe.
Yeah, this is.
It just seems like that would be such. I get what you're saying completely, but
it wasn't what I was saying. It was a pinhead suit.
No, the pinhead suit brought an interesting conversation, but yeah, I think everybody's rooting for Jones to do well.
I think it's just a talk show kind of made up thing, in my opinion, because I don't think it's anything any fans even thinking about. You want your quarterback? He's the quarterback.
Well, how about
team.
The Giants? Are they thinking about it?
No, nobody's thinking about this. They just go out and win. I really don't think they're that caught up in it.
Boy, you can't act like that.
No, because were the Yankees caught up? Were the Yankees like, oh, my God, Aaron Judge is going to win the MVP. Oh, my God, he's got to calm down. No, they wrote it. They wrote it out. They knew it was going to cost them tons of money, and they wrote it out, and they enjoyed it, and they had fun because he's one of their players, and they want that player to do well. And it ended up costing him at the end of the day, but they were thrilled, and they gave him the money. And I understand it's apples and wrenches because there's no salary cap in baseball, but still, the Yankees didn't want to have to fork over that contract. Was there a millisecond they regretted that Aaron Judge was one of the best players in baseball and broke the American League record for home runs?
I don't think so.
Not a second. They wrote it out and enjoyed it, and they're going to want Daniel Jones to do the same thing because he's going to probably be their quarterback. So even if it would save ourselves a couple of bucks, he's the Giant quarterback. You want him to do well. And if it ends up costing you a few million dollars because of it, you know, so what? And then you have a quarterback. Isn't that good? If the defense blows it for him, but he goes out there and throws five touchdowns, Michael, and you have to give him more money, isn't it nice to know that you have a quarterback that's capable of doing that in a playoff game instead of trying to find a way to save money?
No, but I'm operating on the assumption that they think he's the quarterback moving forward. So if he has a bad game and they lose, it might save them a million or two. But if he has an unbelievable game and they lose, then they're at the top of the salary scale with him. That's all I'm saying. If they're already convinced that he's the guy, if saving $1 million or $2 could get you a cornerback, backup cornerback.
But if you are convinced he's the guy, then you don't want him to wet the bed.
Right.
Right? You want him to do well. You want all your players to do well. Like, that's why I think that, you know, we can agree to disagree that, you know, Dable's thinking about the contract or downplaying in the press conference. I think it's all football for these guys, and they're happy for him, and they want him to do well. And then we'll worry about the contract when the offseason comes, and we'll find out what offers he gets. But right now, it's just to ride out and do the best you can and get the most out of him and let him play to the best of his ability. And then, and the great thing is, he's yours. And you can make decisions. Do you give him the exclusive franchise? Do you franchise him and take the – all these things will come up during the offseason. But right now, any Giant fan sitting there should want him to play to the best of his ability and not get caught up in the money. They've got room under the cap. They can figure it out. I believe they've got a competent general manager that can work this out and figure it out. And if it means having to cut a player you don't want to at the expense of the quarterback, which is the most important position – Then I have faith in Joe Shane's going to be able to work that out. I just want to know I got a quarterback that has the ability to go out there in Philadelphia and light it up in a playoff game.
Let's move into the NFL playoff preview brought to you by Jack Pocket. We've talked a lot already about the Giants and the Eagles, and we will continue to do so, but there are three other games. You have the Jaguars and the Chiefs in Kansas City, Chiefs coming off their bye, and they're 9-point favorites over the Jaguars. So there's a lot of ways to look at this. Jaguars look like the it team right now. They won an improbable game last week after the four interceptions in the first half. You know, Trevor Lawrence had a great second half and willed his team to victory and then took 20 teammates to the Waffle House. So that was a full night. How are you guys feeling about this game?
I like this game a lot.
Go ahead.
And I have it as my 3-point play.
Oh, no. Really?
Yeah.
Wait, you like this game and you have it as your 3-point?
I like it a lot.
I'm playing this game as well. I don't know my point allocation yet, but if Don is going up against me in this game, that is a very cube heavy pick. If you're not on the, I look at it this way, Michael. There are two ways to bet this game.
Right.
The sort of hacky way that I may be betting it, which is just laying points with a team that's perpetually great, though they don't always cover the big number at home.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're just laying your cubes on the line and believing that Trevor Lawrence is the next Joe Burrow and is just ice cold in a huge spot.
I like cubes. It's a tough call because, as you said, the Chiefs are clearly better, but the Chiefs just don't cover.
Chiefs do not like to cover generally. I don't know why, but for some reason I feel like this week is different. I just feel like the Jaguar magic has run its course. And I feel like if they get down 27-0 at Arrowhead, as opposed to in Jacksonville, they're not making the miracle comeback.
Interesting. Well, let's move on to the Bengals and the Bills.
But you wouldn't agree that if Don is throwing 3 points...
It could be the thing that shapes the entire competition.
But you realize the level of cubes, regardless of how you feel about KC... The idea of riding with a 9-point road dog Jaguar as your 3-point play, cubes.
But you know what? He could just be—he might not be tipping his hand. He could be going with the Chiefs. He didn't tell.
Well, no,
you where
he didn't
say a word.
No,
I just all I said was I love this game and it's my 3-point play.
Sack. He did like just let out a sound though at some point that let me think he's going Jaguars.
So you're reading his sounds.
That's right.
Well, and you know, and since he is a football savant, every sound means something.
That's right.
Never now said let's I move was on a savant. I'm the Einstein of football next to Boone.
Let's go to Bengals and Bills in Buffalo.
That was
this
a lot
is
of bees
a very,
there.
Very interesting. This is a game that wasn't played, but with so much more on the line.
I'll tell you who's playing it. Me.
Bills, 5.5-point favorites over the Bengals. How you feeling about this one, guys?
Love it.
Oh, you know what, Don?
You love this too. If you could have a second 3-point play.
That's right. This will be my 2-point play.
3-point play.
I feel strongly about this game too, and I wonder if Don and I are going up right against each other again. This could be the definition of
moving. Oh my God, this could ruin. This could either be, all right, we're taking a knee because there's no movement if we're lockstep, but if we're opposite, Peter, this could ruin the weekend football wise.
In fact, both of us should agree if we're opposite to just not do the picks this week. Because it's either if we are on the opposite side of these two picks and it adds up to 5 points, which I think is likely. How much am I up on Don right now, Anthony?
You are up by, let's see, you have 64.5 points. Don, 59.5 points.
So that would be it. That if I get the if we are up against each other and I get these two wrong and he gets these two right, we are tied.
Now, this is a stat from our good friend Anthony Greek, our producer on the Yes Side, who has a gambling issue. The Bills are 13-1 at home in the playoffs, with their lone loss against Jacksonville in the wild card round of the '96 season.
But we don't care
about
that.
That was Jim Kelly's final game. So you don't care about wins and losses, obviously. You care about the cover.
Not for the picks.
Right. I agree.
Not when the spread's, what, 5.5?
Yep.
Who cares what the Bills' record is? They beat the Dolphins, right?
Yep.
Yippee. We had the Bills covering, so no, not good.
I
God, you know how much fun this would be if it was just picking winners? I think we'd all be tremendous.
No, I think we'd be just
no,
bad.
I don't know. I mean, I really feel like the winner is in series up for debate in this ballgame.
Oh, boy, the pick segment is going to be fire today.
You know what, Don?
I don't know if you realize this. The pick segment is going to be slapping.
Not really how you say it, but I hear what you're saying.
Oh, really? What was wrong with that?
Yeah, what is wrong with that?
Slapping is for food, specifically.
Oh, I didn't know.
Well, no,
I didn't know that.
Specifically for food.
Why are you telling me? Why are you telling me? Honestly.
Well, who are you?
Don.
The arbiter of cool?
After thinking about it, I didn't think about this remotely. Molly did see me at the Garden, and she did hear it. She thought it was funny. Is slapping, I mean, like lip smacking. Like, is that why? Is it like something to do with, is that why it's food?
I don't know. This is a new segment for the show where we try to figure out how slang comes to be. I just know that slapping generally refers to food.
So generally, okay. Not exclusively is what you're saying. So if the pick segment's going to be slapping, it can also work. You said generally. You didn't say exclusively.
You know what?
So take your haughty attitude and hit the door.
That's
you know
a good
what?
Use of hoity. I like that.
I'm
like hoity-toity, right?
Not hoity. I said haughty.
He said haughty. Slapping is for food. I'll just, you know what?
Slapping is also for disrespect. Next time I see you, might come into play.
I wish we were doing the picks right now.
I've been making an art. Face dead.
I want to get my picks.
All right, the final game in what could be a great weekend. Cowboys in, I can't say San Francisco. They don't play there. I think it's Santa Clara.
Santa Clara.
49ers.
Love
49ers,
this.
Just a four-point
Don, you can't love all three.
You love
Don,
all three.
I did. I love this game.
I don't. I'm laying off.
This will be my one-point play because I don't love it quite as much as the others.
So let's see. Don loves – so he's staying away from the Giants and the Eagles.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Not because I'm scared. It's just that
sounds like you're scared.
No, it doesn't. Well, I'm in love.
Full bloom?
That was uncomfortable when he said it, Gettleman.
I'm laying off of this game because I just literally keep flip-flopping on it. I one part of me goes, you know what? Dallas was so hot last week. Brock Purdy.
Please, somebody tell me how you could pick the Cowboys in this game.
I can tell you how.
Okay, I want to know.
Brock Purdy is coming up against a hungry, dangerous Cowboys defense in the playoffs. This is a good team who offensively was gelling last week. It's a San Francisco team that, if you recall, guys, you know, going into the third quarter, you thought was about to be in a nail biter against the Seahawks at home last week. I don't see any reason why.
Let's use the Don theory. Okay,
go ahead.
The Cowboys beat an awful team. The only reason we're building them up is because it was Tom Brady. They were 8-9. They're not a good team. So Dak Prescott was awful the week before, and then he played really well against an awful team. 49ers defense is slapping.
I will tell you right now.
You got a pretty mouth.
Washington, a much better football team than Tampa.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Tampa's terrible.
Not a quarterback, but what does it matter? They're not good.
You put Tom Brady on the Commies. Guess what? We're talking about a run.
Cowboys don't get a ton of pressure. They're good defense, but not a ton of pressure. And there's that whole, you know, bat on grass, which I don't know if I buy too much into. But they were talking about it during the game that maybe that's – Aikman was saying that maybe that's why they don't get the same pass rush and reduces their speed. I don't know. But this is a different world. Like, the Giants
they put
are
up,
going
they,
to a different
record,
world. Cowboys are going to a different
for
world.
For the record, let's just be fair. They put up 40 on the Eagles' defense a few weeks ago. A 40 spot.
Oh, they're capable of anything.
So this is a team that is capable. And I don't know why. I just feel like this is the – for some reason, I've had a hunch all year that this is the year the Cowboys go on a weird run.
And I will say this. We throw it out when we're talking about the Giants making a run. And San Francisco's got a rookie quarterback. This is the perfect place for a rookie quarterback to excel. The perfect place, San Francisco.
Oh, well, that's for sure.
Believe me, they will make sure they don't put him in a tough situation. Now, at some point, to win a Super Bowl – he's going to have to go above and beyond. I'm not sure this week is that week. So it may hurt them winning a championship, having that kind of inexperience at quarterback. But of all the places to be, San Francisco's the place for a neophyte quarterback.
Well, that is our early NFL playoff preview, brought to you by Jackpocket. Powerball is $473 million. Mega Millions is $20 million. Play official state lottery games on your phone with Jackpocket. Download the Jackpocket app and get your first ticket free using code ESPN. You must be 18 or older to play. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY. Visit jackpocket.com/TOS for full terms of service.
Here's an idea, just to throw it out there. It came to me. Now, I wouldn't do it during the regular season because it's not always the hot topic. But when you get into the playoffs in the NFL, it's all we talk about.
Yeah.
I say we scrap the pick segment at 5:45. We sprinkle in our picks when they happen and when it hits us. Like right now would be the perfect time for the picks. I'm with Peter. I want to do it now. Every time we say it, we read the sponsor. Sponsor gets everything they need out of it. A listener has to stay for the whole length of the show to get our picks, and that way we can hit them as soon as we got them.
Yeah. Now, okay. So let me do the different one. Don't you think it's fun for people to wonder what the picks are going to be because we're dropping hints? Just relax.
I know, but it, here's what happens. We squeeze it all into this 10-minute segment. Then we roll into ENN. We could be bickering about the picks for the next – if Don
We
and
are.
I,
we're going to be bickering about the picks.
No.
Don't worry about it.
But hold on. But, you know, I make this argument every year. Don, why does it matter? I'm an idiot.
Right.
I'm a hack. I don't know radio.
All true.
you rattled that off pretty quick.
Yeah, I would like to, and I'm sure that Don would echo this, although I can't swear to it, send out our best wishes to our buddy, Sweeney Murdy.
Oh, yeah.
30 years at WFAN, and today was his last day. And you would be hard-pressed to find a better person that has worked in this business for that long. He's just a great guy. Wonderful family, did a good job, a really energetic job, tireless really, on the Yankees, battled with hosts that have enormous egos to get his points across, and today is his last day. I'm sure he will get a great gig somewhere else, but FAN's loss will be somebody's gain, but I tell you, FAN's loss will also be their listeners' loss, because Sweeney has been part of the firmament for a long time, Don.
Yeah.
30 years, and I think about 20 of them with the Yankees. So, Sweeney, best wishes.
I got to tell you, that's a major blow to them, in my opinion, because he was there forever, Michael. I guess the only period that he left was he wanted to be on the air, Peter. He was a board op producer. He was a behind-the-scenes guy for a long time, working Steve Summers and overnight. He wanted a chance to be on the air. So Mark Chernoff sent him down to Philadelphia, and he killed it down there. Killed it. And then he came back up. Actually, replaced me. I was doing updates during the week, and then he came back to Philly. I got bumped back to weekends, and then Sweeney took over during the week. And we became, you know, really good friends, and then he got the Yankee gig, really, for over 20 years, as Michael said, and killed that. So, really, tremendous human being, hard worker.
Why'd they let him go?
I'm sure money had some. I think he decided to leave, but I mean, the position was being cut down. Let's put it that way. So it wasn't going to pay the same amount of livable income. So I just think he decided, let's move on to other things. You know,
and
he got confidence in himself, and he should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. He's a pro. Guys, on a positive note, you got some good news.
What's that?
We're going to be hearing from a Super Bowl champion, Justin Tuck, after 5:00.
Oh, beautiful!
And great,
we're
going to
be hearing from Mike Tannenbaum in just a moment.
Oh,
let's see if Don corrects him about the pronunciation of the giant coach.
Right out of the box.
Show me something.
That's coming up in just a moment right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are joined now by our good friend Mike Tannenbaum, his weekly segment here on the show. And I'm going to start off with Mike with a gangrene report brought to you by Two by London, the engagement shop at London Jewelers. And Mike, First off, thanks for coming on, as always.
Good to be with you guys, and I just want you to know that it's another week, it's another layer of my friendship with Don, and it's more robust than it's ever been.
Well, right, that could change.
That's going to be tested in a while.
We're going to see if that gets tested today.
All right, so here we go. Tell me why, Mike, with 8 jobs already open and probably more offensive coordinator jobs needing to be filled, why would a good, solid offensive coordinator take the Jet job?
It's an opportunity. You know, you got to look at it as like, hey, we got some really meaningful pieces, Garrett Wilson, Breece Hall, amongst many others. And if I could turn this around with a good defense, I can make a huge name for myself and hopefully get the Jets to the playoffs. And if I can do that in the biggest market in the world, that portends really well for my career. So if I'm confident in my abilities, then I see this as a big opportunity.
But somebody with a big name is what I'm asking. I mean, Darren Bevell has already turned down the opportunity to interview for it. So somebody with a big name, why would they? Because you're naming the good things they have. Oh, by the way, the one thing they don't have is a quarterback.
Right. You know, obviously, there's strengths and weaknesses and pros and cons to everything. I would say that someone – and look, there's plenty of other guys that are out there that may not even be with a team that have done really well, like guys like Mark Trestman, Marty Morningwig, Dirk Cutter, Mike Martz, just to name a few. So it doesn't necessarily have to be with somebody that's currently with a team, but someone that has a demonstrable track record of, you know, developing quarterbacks and putting together a really effective offense.
All right, that is the Gangrene Report, brought to you by 2 by London, the engagement shop by London Jewelers. Pick or design the perfect engagement ring to fit every budget at any of their 7 area locations. Don, take it.
Now, Mike, you've got a couple of different choices. One's got an okay coach, but a great quarterback. The other team's got an okay quarterback, but a great coach. Which is more important? Who do you side with? The great quarterback or the great coach?
Yeah. It's the quarterback, and so it's going to be about the quarterback.
So that obviously could hurt the Jets not having a quarterback, as much respect as they may have for Saleh. So I guess L.A., the Chargers become more attractive. Even though Staley may not be a great coach, just working with Justin Herbert is going to have them win any faceoff.
Yeah, Justin Herbert to me is a chance to be a top 5 quarterback for the next 10 years, and anybody that gets the opportunity to work with him, it's a rare opportunity. Now, with that said, if I was, you know, trying to attract a coordinator right now, what I would say is, like, you're going to have a meaningful input on who we are going to get and who you are going to coach. And sometimes, you know, that's not always available in the NFL. So that's also an opportunity. And by the way, like, we've talked about this before, guys. I would be scouring. I would be talking about, you know, maybe it's Jimmy Garoppolo and a draft choice. Like, I don't think it's necessarily just one. And we've seen that this league, you know, this year, guys. Last week we saw multiple teams play backup or third-string quarterbacks in the playoffs. Skylar Thompson, Brock Purdy, you know, Anthony Brown played 2 weeks ago. Tyler Huntley played a week ago. So depth of that position is critical. And by the way, like, maybe I could get something out of Zach Wilson that nobody else could have.
All right, let's go to these games over the weekend. I want to get your take on each and every one. Let's start with the Jaguars-Chiefs. What are you thinking?
Yeah, this is, like, probably the least competitive game. Jacksonville had a huge win. I just don't think they could stay with the Chiefs. Now, I think the Chiefs' secondary is vulnerable outside of LeJarius Sneed, and I just don't know if the Jaguars have the speed on the outside. Etienne can make some plays, Evan Ingram, but to beat the Chiefs, you have to have chunk plays. I don't think this is a good matchup for Jacksonville.
All right, Giants-Eagles.
I like the Giants. I like the way Dexter Lawrence is playing. I think he's going to give Jason Kelce fits. And when you look at the eyeball test, I don't think Jalen Hurts is 100%. And I think when you look at the way Philadelphia plays great defense, it's with the lead and they're really good at rushing the passer, and I expect the Giants to keep it close, which will nullify what the Eagles do best, and I think the Giants are going to win the game.
Wow. You say that with certitude, and you said it last week with certitude.
What about how relevant do you think the head coach will be in this game for the Giants?
Well, of course, very much. I mean, what's Brian now, at 24-7 in playoff games? But I think what he's really done is set up a system where, you know, they attack teams horizontally, and when you're playing Philadelphia, you want to keep it close and you want to make that undersized defense play run defense. And because they've been so great on offense, guys, they've been able just to rush the passer, which is what Dallas and Philly both do exceptionally well. And I think as long as it could be a one-score game and Philadelphia has to defend the run, this is a game that the Giants can control.
Now, we have to get into something we were arguing about a lot, Mike, because Brian Daboll had mentioned, like, he played good, like downplayed Daniel's performance. And Michael and Peter think that that might be him trying to downplay the performance because he's thinking about the contract and how much they're going to pay him. I say coaches don't even think about that. All they want is their players to do well. All they're thinking about is the moment. Even Joe Shane, are any of them thinking about the contract, or are they just all in on the moment?
Yeah, look, I think as a GM, you got to be always thinking 3 months out, or, you know, what could go wrong in terms of, like, you know, we're going to lose an assistant coach at college. We're going to, you know, whatever, something's going to happen. Your best player's going to change agents. He's going to hold out. There's always things to think about. But when Brian Daboll is answering that question, he's not trying to lower the guy's value. Like, that's not how you do it anyway. But I just think that's Brian's personality. And he has multiple rings, both, you know, in college and as a Super Bowl winner. So to win, you know, a wild card game is meaningful, but that's not what he signed up, you know, to take this job for.
I'm curious. I don't know if you saw Ian O'Connor's story early in the week, but he had a source that talked, when he did the Belichick book, talked about all the assistants that worked for Belichick. And he said this guy was, like, on every single one, like, spot on. But he said that Brian Daboll was a joke, that he was like a clown in Cleveland. Nobody even knew what he was doing, that he didn't know what he was doing. Was that the thought around football? I mean, how has he gotten away from that thought if this guy, who's respected, according to Ian, just didn't see it? People didn't see what the attraction was of Brian Daboll.
I can really go by what I see. And, you know, I've told this story before, but, you know, Brett Favre was someone that was known to enjoy crossword puzzles. And when we traded for Brett at the Jets, the first installation that Brian had as the quarterback coach was in the form of a crossword puzzle. I thought that was just a microcosm of a guy being a really smart coach in terms of understanding how to reach, you know, here's a guy that's been through, you know, 25,000 installs. And that was a just really smart sort of, like, insight into Brian, which is he's very relatable to people. He's smart, and he's very comfortable in his own skin. Now, he may not be for everybody. I don't know who Ian's source is, but I could just tell you my own personal experiences.
All right, let's go to the Bengals and the Bills. What do you think of that game?
Yeah, I like the Bengals. You know, this is a game where Josh Allen just keeps turning the ball over. You know, turned over three more times last week. And you got to understand, like, that interception to Xavier Howard was terrible. He triple pumped. And you got to know that, hey, I'm facing Skylar Thompson, third-string quarterback. The only way this team's going to beat us is if I turn the ball over. We're up 17 to nothing. That's inexcusable. And I'm concerned by the trajectory of his turnovers. Joe Burrow's playing flawless, and what concerns me about this prediction is they're missing three offensive linemen, but I think Joe will get rid of the ball quick enough, and Buffalo's obviously missing Von Miller. So I think this is a close game, but I think this is the game where Buffalo's going to look back and say, like, wow, you know, this ball security really hurt us.
And finally, Cowboys 49ers.
Yeah, this is a toss-up for me. You know, Tony Pollard, I think, has five plays of 30 yards or more. He's going to need two of them. I like San Francisco in a really close game. You know, again, I see Dallas guys very similar to Philadelphia on defense. They're really good rushing the passer, but I think what Kyle Shanahan will do is just try to stay with the run, which is something Dallas doesn't like to defend. And one other interesting note in this game is, you know, Kyle Shanahan and Dan Quinn play against each other quite a bit, you know, in practice in Atlanta. So that's sort of an interesting subplot to this game.
I'm wondering, for a guy who, I mean, you have been in this business forever, your whole adult life. Does the Brock Purdy story shock you?
Yeah, 100%. And if you're not shocked, you know, you're not being candid. Like, this was the last player picked. Mm-hmm. And look, we could always talk about, like, there's teams that are well-built, good offensive line. You know, they clearly have a number of players that are great running after the catch guys. But for him to play at the level he's playing at as a rookie, when he was getting zero reps behind Trey Lance and Jimmy Garoppolo, I mean, it's nothing less than shocking, and he deserves all the credit in the world.
What do you think about the stat about how the Cowboys play on grass and how it might reduce their pass rush? You buy into any of that at all?
Yeah, I did until last week. You know, like, that's true. Like, that was something that Tony Dungy brought up. And but I think more fundamentally than that, as we look at this matchup in particular, Tampa Bay could not run the ball. And Canley, they just didn't even try, and Tom Brady threw it, what, 66 times? That's not going to happen this week. And if I'm Dan Quinn, I keep talking about, like, you know, there's a great expression that applies here, guys. Like, you tell defensive linemen, you earn the right to rush the passer. And if they don't stop the run, they'll run it 66 times this week. And that's the difference between San Fran and Tampa. And because of that, when you make Dallas defend the run, it just makes your pass rush not nearly as effective.
Give me your best guess. Where does Brady end up?
I think the Raiders. You know, I think he plays. I think he wants to go to a place of comfort. Him and Josh McDaniels had a historic run together. They have a tremendous amount of weapons. You know, obviously they're going to have to get at least two, maybe three offensive linemen. But I think that situation checks as many boxes as possible.
And you still, I believe you told us you think Garoppolo ends up with the Jets because it doesn't look like Lamar Jackson is being traded.
Yeah, I think that's a really good spot. I think that's a good match for both. And again, like going back to the Jets situation, guys, like I wouldn't just stop with Jimmy Garoppolo, Derek Carr, you know, whomever the veteran is. I would, whatever I get from Zach Wilson is a bonus, and I'm going to go try to get the next guy. And look, Daniel Jones is a great example. Like, Daniel Jones is an improved football player. He has gotten materially better this year, and that's what good young quarterbacks should do. They should get better. So, you know, Garoppolo hopefully gives you progress in 2023, and go draft the next guy. And that's sort of like a very fundamental approach for the quarterback position, but it's a way to not only solidify things now, but hopefully improve things long term.
I sense, Peter, that the friendship is still solid. Do you agree?
Well, yeah, because Don is an utter fraud.
Yeah,
well,
he's fraud.
Wait, I because he didn't say it.
Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
I couldn't really tell, and we didn't play the cut, so it was a mess. So anyway, Mike, you were brought up earlier in the week because of the fact that there's so many people in the NFL that pronounce his name Brian Daboll, including yourself. Is there something we don't know?
Is there something I don't know?
Yeah. No. Yeah, there is. We have audio for you. Ready? Anthony, got that? The audio when we asked Coach Daboll how you pronounce his name.
Daboll.
Go ahead. The second part,
Daboll,
Anthony.
Daboll, like a table.
There you go. Please tell everybody ESPN that,
yeah,
Mike.
Now, I'm not picking on you because I think you're listening to all your colleagues, and they're all getting it wrong. So as a friend, I'm trying to tell you that we asked him a while ago, and it's like table.
And, Mike, I think you know that this show is filled with a lot of journalistic integrity. We just want to do the right thing.
And that's what friends do. They try to help each other.
That's right.
And, you know, point out their blind spots. So Don's just being a friend.
So you don't feel any more distant from him. You feel closer, actually.
Yeah, I think it's magnanimous of Don to make sure that I'm at my journalist.
No,
maxing out my, you know, ability.
We were worried because we thought we were getting it wrong because just so many people in Bristol were pronouncing it that way. Because we had a similar situation with the Rangers head coach, Gerard Gallant. For the longest time, we were calling him Gallant until we were corrected, and then it was Gallant. And I covered the team, for God's sakes. So we just want to know if we got it wrong. And then Peter remembered that we had asked Brian when we had him on last year or when he got hired. But, yeah, I guess it was last year this time. And we would just make sure that you knew. I love you.
And now I'm better off for it.
Mike, enjoy the football.
All right, thanks so much, guys. And thanks, Don. I'm sure you and I will speak soon.
All right, you got it.
Now, I don't know, Peter, if you hear the same things I hear. He despises Don now.
Oh, yeah, he's out. He's completely out.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. I had to do it.
You wouldn't have done it unless Peter and I prodded you.
Well, the thing is, I did hear him say it, but I thought we all agreed that when it was going to be said incorrectly, we'd fire the cut. And we didn't, so we let it slide, and we got serious with the interview. But I was not going to let him go without bringing it up.
All right, I believe Don. I believe you fully.
But we'll never know because you called me out, but I which put me further on the spot, but I was going to ask anyway. I was not going to let it go.
He may never do the show again. He played it off nicely, Don.
Yeah, but
and
he's
Mike,
seething right now.
Yeah, I think he hangs up the phone and goes, those pieces.
Those sons of.
But I did it in the nicest way possible.
We suck.
Right. So you guys
we'll
don't have
back.
My back. You're with me. Why would he be mad at me?
Oh, no, he hates all three of us.
No, okay. He doesn't like the two of us. He said, you're his friend. I think that's over now. That's all I'm saying. Don't feel bad, but you're out. Anyway, we'll be very polite to our callers at 1-800-919-3776. And what was our big guest at 5 o'clock, Peter? Who do we have?
A Super Bowl champion named Justin Tuck.
Yeah, the Tuck rule at 5:10. So stay tuned for that. Your phone call's next on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Split the ice apart and break the frozen
ice.
Ice Picks. Ice Picks. Ice Picks. Ice Picks.
Now time for today's Ice Picks driven by Nissan. How about a little parlay action? We've got the Senators and the Penguins in Pittsburgh, and we've got the Avalanche in Vancouver against the Canucks. So for plus 171, let's do the Avalanche and the Penguins on the money line, a little parlay action. That's today's Ice Picks driven by Nissan. You deserve a car that thrills you. And Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store, NissanUSA.com today.
Carlos Cano on Twitter said the Friday Weekly with Mike Tannenbaum, hugely underrated.
Really?
I agree. Not to mention it's apparent Kay and Rosenberg are a little jealous of the friendship of LaGreca and MT.
Well, definitely, Michael. I'm not jealous at all. Well, you just try to devalue it just for kicks?
Yeah.
I will not devalue these men.
I told you that. Wow, what did you just chip in with, Peter?
I said I will not devalue these men.
Wow. I will not devalue these men.
Thank you.
Let's go to Bernie in Virginia.
Burn, baby, burn.
All right, guys. Good afternoon. Great to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
Quick. Just some observations I want to get your take on. If you take the top 10 overall players in the Giants-Eagles game, I would say the Giants have four of them. Do you agree? I got Saquon, Dexter, Kayvon, Daniel Jones.
I don't know if you put Kayvon on that
one. No. You put Daniel Jones in the top 10 players in the game?
I think so. I think the way he's playing right now, yes.
I can't argue.
At this moment, relative to the last month of both teams, maybe. But that's, Don, you don't think with the amount of players they have on both sides of the ball? I don't know. That seems high for me.
Well, so what Eagles are definitely going to be on that list? I mean, Hurts. You're going to have Hurts on the list. You're going to have Brown on
AJ.
The list.
Kelsey.
Yeah. There's
Devontae.
Four.
I mean, do you...
Well, no, Devontae's on the list, but I mean, ahead of Jones?
Yes.
Probably. No.
How about Lane Johnson?
Hold on. Throughout the course...
Johnson?
No, we're just talking about going into the game.
Right. He's playing in the game. How about somebody on the defensive line at 70 sacks?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, up and down. I mean, is he better than Fletcher Cox?
Yeah, that's a little outrageous. And to put Kayvon Thibodeau, why?
Thibodeau, I actually agree.
No, pure talent, maybe, but not as a player right now. I mean, has he had a great year?
Thibodeau?
He's not even going to win Rookie of the Year.
No, I mean, he hasn't been insane, but he's had glimpses that have been fantastic. I hear you. Maybe he's not. I don't know. I feel like that call. Listen, I'm picking the Giants. There's reason to roll into this game with some confidence. But I wouldn't start getting caught up in the "we're just as talented as them" game. That's a loss. That is a please don't let that attitude leak into the Giants locker room, because if you go into this game thinking the way we beat the Eagles is with talent, I don't think that's how you beat the Eagles.
It's an interesting absolutely. I mean, if you want, listen, Pro Bowl is a little, it's not the perfect argument. Eagles sent 8 guys to the Pro Bowl, the Giants 2.
All right, so just look at it like that, then you'd say two Giants are in the top 10.
And, of course, that's Dexter Lawrence and Saquon Barkley. Now, if, you know, Jones is playing great and Thibodeau really came on late, so as they're playing going into the game, those guys are elevated more than they were even a month ago. But,
I mean, literally the four guys they have up front, Graham, Cox, Hargrave, they're all really good guys. I wouldn't start thinking about it from that. I'm thinking about it from, Michael, I've been saying all week, and I'll stay with it again. Can you get another 70-plus yards from Daniel Jones? You mentioned earlier when we were talking about the hypotheticals of Jones, you know, if he throws for 350, if he throws for 300, I don't know that I see a winning formula where he's throwing for 350 or 300.
I think you're right.
I think the winning formula is Saquon runs for 130, he runs for 85.
But didn't we think the winning formula was Saquon running against Minnesota, and they hardly ran him?
Yes, but it's different. To me, it's different because Minnesota's kind of weak all over defensively. This pass defense of the Eagles is top notch, and their run defense is middle of the road.
Now, what's flawed
and you really want to keep Jalen Hurts off the field.
Now, what's flawed about the whole Pro Bowl argument is you're just talking about their defensive line. None of their defensive linemen are going to the Pro Bowl. They're only, right. Hanson Reddick is going to the Pro Bowl as a linebacker. So it's a flawed argument. We also didn't even bring up Darius Slay, who's having an amazing season. So,
and against the Giants, Boston Scott.
But, if you're going to elevate the last month, you got to elevate Scott just based on what he's done career against the Giants, including this year. But again, talent's one thing. I mean, Michael said they're a more talented team. The most talented team doesn't always win. Because we could have had this argument with Minnesota and all the firepower they had offensively and all that, and it didn't amount to really as much. They were able to shut down Jefferson. So it's all about the matchups of can the Giants get pressure with this really good offensive line? Can they stop the attack of 70 sacks coming from their defense? Right, this is an upgrade, guys, from last week.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.